Well, there's been a couple of reports that have been released. The Census Bureau released a new home sales data report for March of 2026, and the National Association of Realtors also released its Q1 2026 Metro Home Prices Report. And joining us to talk about those reports is Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk. You and I have talked a lot about home sales and how that used to be, you know, a primary focus of increasing that in order to stimulate the economy. Not nearly as much anymore, but still important. What does this report reveal?
Sure. This new home sales report shows that really new home sales are the only part of the market that are moving forward. We also this morning had the release of existing home sales or sales of previously owned homes from the National Association of Realtors. And that's basically flat as a board on the month and on year over year. The good news on the existing home sales part is that home prices nationally are moving up only slightly, although enough to get to an April record. The median sales price for existing home sales at $417,700. But by contrast, the new home sales were moving up in March, up 7.5%, 7.4% to be precise, and up 3.3% above year-ago levels. The median price for a new home is lower than an existing home. So builders are able to also add some incentives or some financial help at closing to help people get across some of these affordability hurdles that people are facing. So it's an interesting time, to say the least.
Mortgage rates have gone up. They've retreated, come back down. Where do we find ourselves today, and how much of that is actually contributing to what we're seeing?
So for a moment in February, before the war started, we did see the national mortgage rate average right at 5.99%. So we broke under that 6% barrier. But with the inflation and the worries about inflation that have coincided with the Iran war, mortgage rates have risen. They are down from their recent peak, roughly right now at about 6.33%. And in these snapshots for April sales, the bank rate average over the course of April was 6.43%, whereas a year earlier, they were at 6.81%. So we're actually down from a year ago, but up from where we were in February before the war started. So home sales are, or rather home prices are rising slowly. Wage gains are outpacing this increase in home prices, and mortgage rates are down from a year ago. So this is actually leading to better affordability conditions, even though I don't think people are jumping up and down and cheering with respect to broadly the affordability situation.
And at the risk of being criticized, as I always do when I say that rate, still, all things considered, when you look back over three, four decades, at 6.3%, not bad.
Well, yeah, people don't like hearing that, I guess, because they wish that there's some other context. But I've done the work on this, and the average for the Freddie Mac, which is the most widely followed weekly average on the 30-year fixed, the average since they started tracking, which was 1971, and you can circle this and write it down, it's 7.74%. So we're about, you know, 1.5 percentage points below that historical average over that long time span.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I need it.
Facts are actually helping in this case.
Absolutely. Empirical data helps all the time. But it is an interesting thought. You know, I mean, we really got spoiled quick, did we not?
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem there is that, of course, we had some mortgage rates, you know, around the pandemic that were in the high 2% range, which just is kind of mind boggling. And so the problem right now is the peak in the last number of years was 8%. And as I mentioned, we're about 6 1/3 right now. But you are seeing some refinancing now, I think, from some of those people that got those rates. I think the share of mortgage applications for refinancing has been roughly about 40% of late. So, maybe about 60% on purchase and 40% on refinancing.
Do you think with the amount of news that's out there and the amount of news cycles where we're talking about the Fed and this and that and this theory, that theory, this ideology, that ideology, that we tend to overthink this to a certain extent?
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, I guess I would say, what should we be thinking about, right? Because the most important thing is, can we afford the home we're buying, and will we be able to achieve our other financial goals, such as save for emergency, save for retirement, pay down debt, and if Junior needs to go to college, you're going to have to fund that, or at least think about that as well. But in terms of trying to time the market, that really is foolhardy, because the only thing that's a sure thing in terms of mortgage rates is what we can see today. The world has become a volatile, uncertain place. And, I'm just not a fan of, say, of thinking, well, they might be lower in 6 months. Yeah, they might be higher in 6 months. So I would use today as a baseline. And if somebody's ready to go, they can consider whether they want to lock in, at current levels. But, for the moment, the Iran war is really front and center with respect to what's happening with inflation, what's happening with the macro economy, not only in the United States, but across the world. It's not the only thing, of course. We have a lot of dynamism and amazing stuff going on in the United States with the investment in artificial intelligence for better or for worse. But that's powering GDP and doing a lot of things, including commercial construction of data centers and, of course, what's happening with the industry itself.
I like the way that you answered that question, because I think a lot of times we get stuck in a silo of analysis, right? And we forget what's running on the periphery, like having credit cards at 29.8% interest. Using those and not paying the balance down and not actually figuring out how much money we're actually throwing away to a certain extent, right?
Well, financial television has sort of become the ESPN of financial markets, in the sense that people sort of tune in to the constant chatter, whether they're inclined to buy stocks or not. And there is a danger from being, I say this at my own at peril, that there's a danger of paying too much attention to commentary and not enough to sort of what occurs over the long term, because, very, very often people are focused on the short term, and maybe the short term is irrelevant.
Yeah, but you guys, y'all focused really holistically, as to savings, IRA investment, this, that, or otherwise, to make sure that you're socking away money every month. Because once you get behind, it's really hard to catch up, right?
It sure is. And we know most Americans live paycheck to paycheck, and that is a precarious condition for somebody that owns a home when HVAC may, go out at some point, and then you have to think about replacing that or a roof or whatever else. So, it's the financial equivalent of what I like to say is, we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And it is true that owning a home is the financial number one item on the lists of things that we put in our surveys on the American dream. I think owning an automobile and being able to retire are up there as well. But it's also, for better and for worse, the primary path toward wealth creation in the United States, speaking about home ownership. And so I understand why it is a priority. And, I'd be hypocritical if I didn't say it's been a wonderful thing in the lives of my wife and myself over these many years. But we also got in, before we started seeing these home prices really rise at a huge rate. And that really is part of the story here that we shouldn't overlook is that we've had this appreciation in home prices for many, many years now. Home prices in the U.S. are up about 50% since the pandemic. And of course, the consumer price index up about half that level, meaning prices more broadly. And so, you know, that's caused these dynamics to be a source of frustration for people who are sort of like, you know, hey, baby boomer, you didn't do anything to earn that. And they're probably right. but also, you know, nothing that I sitting here in my home office can do about it.
Mark, and I know that y'all follow this as well with some of these other reports. Are the younger generation as home buyers, are they thinking smaller size?
Yes.
Than like
yes.
My generation?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that, you know, and I think there's some thought along those lines that has to do with environmental impact. You know, perhaps not as much, you could call it waste on the square footage, but also value. And that's why the builders are winning right now, for among other reasons, on the new home sales front, is because they're coming up with creative ways of utilizing square footage in a more effective way. But also they have these financial tools that can help people at closing to get across the finish line and walk across that threshold.
And I guess you even see that in renovations, right? I mean, more people are trying to mimic taking older style homes with the traditional living room, dining room, making more great rooms, open floor spaces, less hallways, everything else, yeah, utilizing more of the square footage available.
Yeah, you know, they used to have a punchline about the living room was, you know, that's the room for nobody, right? And that's for older homes.
With the china and the silver for nobody as well.
Exactly, yeah. And by the way, good luck handing that down to a younger generation. But it always thought it was funny that people put what the plastic covers on furniture that nobody's sitting on, but that's another story.
It's so true, though. It's like nobody in the family wants the china. It's like you can't give it away.
No. I mean, we've had that conversation in the Hamrick family, believe me. And Junior lives in Los Angeles would be offended if we tried to give that to him. So.
But it is a different mindset that we're seeing, and that's reflected, I guess, in these numbers. Was it?
Yeah, I think so. And the other part is that what's also very interesting is, you know, we have these remarkable differences in regions and metros across the country where, you know, you've got some markets like Chicago or Detroit even still, or even smaller markets than that, where people really gravitate toward the bargain. So that's another interesting part of the picture where we've got, you know, most metros across the country are still seeing increases in home prices, but then you've got, you know, really some compelling values in smaller communities as well as particularly in the Midwest where I hail from originally. And, you know, not a lot of people are moving to my hometown in southeast Kansas, so there's plenty of bargains on housing stock there.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, I always kind of chuckle, you know, when I interview you and we leave the interview and I pause for a second. I said, well, you know, if the United States government just consumed 20% of what Mark Hamrick has to say, we would be in much better shape than we're in, as the government's going to borrow, what, $2.3 trillion this year?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, at an interest rate that's not that great, right?
No, that's right. And then the higher interest rates are causing the government to pay more for interest as you know, you can't avoid that. And thank you for the kind words. I don't know if I'd want that burden, however. It's like, oh, he's the guy whose fault this is.
It's just like China, right?
Yeah,
I don't want
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But, you know, I started writing a new regular piece via the new creator website, Substack. And one of the pieces I did write over the weekend is we are suffering from a leadership vacuum in this country. And I think the leaders are out there, but I think it's both a supply and demand problem in terms of political solutions. It's titled The Hamrick Brief, if anybody wants to check it out. It's separate from my work, but I'm enjoying writing it.
Absolutely. We will definitely check it out, The Hamrick Brief on Substack. Always enjoy the conversation. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning. We know you're very busy, and we appreciate not only your time, but your insight, and have a great week.
It's a great pleasure, my friend. Always appreciate it. Take good care.
Thank you, sir. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. On the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, stay with us.